Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
I mean, you already have all the willpower you need, just not the values that you need, right? So you value $1 million so much that if somebody offered you $1 million at the moment of temptation, you'd say, yeah, I'll take the $1 million. I'll pass on that. But whatever benefit I get from pleasing God at this moment, that's not enough. I'm going to do the sin. And so I value $1 million this much. I value the sin this much. I value pleasing God in that moment this much. That's what needs to shift, is how much I value what comes from obedience. And so go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2. In verse 12, he says, "Be appalled at this, O heavens. Shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins." So God is calling upon the entire creation to just be rattled with horror over these two sins that Israel has committed. They're so bad. So what are these two horrific sins that they committed? Well, sin number one, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Now stop right there. That's a metaphor, right? God's not literal H2O. He's not fluid. He's comparing himself in some way to water here. So when you interpret a metaphor, that's the question, okay, in what sense is it similar? That's always how you interpret a metaphor. So in what sense is God similar to water? What do they have in common? What is the point of comparison? I mean, water is cold, you know, to the touch. Well, that's not what he's getting at. Water is fluid. That's not it. What is it? What is it about water that is similar to God? Okay, that's right. Yeah, it's a source of life, and it satisfies thirst. Right? It satisfies thirst. You have a feeling of discomfort in your throat, in your mouth. It's dry, and the only thing that'll satisfy that is to drink something. And so water satisfies that. That's what he's talking about. So what would it mean then to abandon God, forsake God as water? If I forsake him as my master, that means I don't obey him anymore. If I forsake him as my savior, then I'm not looking to him to save me anymore. If I forsake him as provider, then I'm looking to something else to provide for me. What does it mean to forsake him as water? Okay, so it means I'm not looking to him anymore to satisfy that thirst of the soul. So let's talk about thirst of the soul for a minute. Just as your body gets thirsty, your soul gets thirsty. God designed it that way. He designed your body and your soul both that way. When you get feelings inside you that are feelings of discouragement or lack of satisfaction or emptiness or restlessness, you know, you just can't get comfortable. You just don't feel right. Anxiety, worry, fear, things in there, they're just not right. When you feel all those kinds of feelings inside you, the Bible calls all those the thirst of the soul. That's your soul getting thirsty. Every soul gets thirsty, just like every body gets thirsty. And you drink, and then you get thirsty again. And you drink, you get thirsty again. Now, why did God make us, physically design us, to keep getting thirsty? It's an unpleasant sensation, right? So why did God make that? Well, so that we would drink, right? So if you never got thirsty, you'd die, because you would never discipline yourself to drink enough. You would never remember to drink enough water. You would dehydrate and you'd die if you didn't feel dryness in your mouth. So that's a blessed gift from God, thirst and hunger. In fact, it's actually something even though it's unpleasant, it's something you want if you know it's going to be satisfied, right? We got Thanksgiving coming up this week. You know what's the worst is showing up for Thanksgiving not hungry, right? Isn't that a bummer? If you see like your Thanksgiving meal and you're not hungry. Why? Why do I want to be hungry on Thanksgiving? Hunger's unpleasant, right? It makes you weak. It makes you tired. It makes you so that you don't have strength, and it hurts your stomach. And yeah, but I want it because the hungrier I am, the more I enjoy that meal. So that's the purpose of hunger and thirst. And God is this, what he's saying is he's the spring of living water. He's the water. When I have the thirst of the soul, I'm anxious, I'm empty, I'm sad, all that stuff. When I have the thirst of the soul, the only water that exists is the presence of God. If I experience that, that'll take care of the problem of the thirst of my soul. If I don't, I'm going to stay thirsty. Okay, so that's the whole point of thirst of the soul, and God is the spring of living water, and they forsook him as a spring of living water. They stopped, when their souls got thirsty, they stopped looking to him. That's sin number one. Remember, it said they committed two sins. Let's look at sin number two. Sin number two, they've forsaken me, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What's that mean? A cistern is just a holding tank for water. So what does it mean that sin number two, they dug their own cisterns? That's right. Yeah, they stopped looking to God to satisfy their thirst, and they started looking to something else. It's something else. What else? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What else? Anything. Any created thing. You look to it as water, that's sin number two. Okay? It could be sex. It could be food. It could be exercise. It could be career. It could be ministry. It could be your wife, your husband, your family, your kids. Any of those things. It could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. Anything you look to as water is an idol in the heart, because God is the only water. Because God is the only water. So if I treat anything else as water, I'm putting that thing in God's place, and that's the definition of idolatry, right? So if I ask you, what is it that you, when your soul gets thirsty, where do you run? And you say, man, I go to family. I read a book. I go to my kids. I do that. Every single one of those, that's dangerous, 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 because every one of those is competing for God's place as the water for your soul. And once it becomes the water for your soul, it's an idol in your heart. It's in the place of God. Okay? So that's the principle of idolatry of the heart. All enslaving sin is a product of idolatry of the heart. Some kind of a heart idol or a group of idols. And one of the first steps in overcoming an enslaving sin is figuring out, what is the idol? What is that idol? What is it that my soul thinks is water? Now, here's the thing you got to be careful with here. We mentioned this last week. The idol is not the behavior or the substance. The idol is not the alcohol. If you have a problem with alcohol, it's not the alcohol. It's not sex. It's not food. Those things are not idols. Food is not an idol. If you have a problem with overeating, the idol is whatever it is you're trying to get from the food. Whatever that food does for you. The reason you go to it. Because one overeater might run to food for comfort, right? That's the water that they're trying to seek. Instead of seeking comfort from God, they're seeking comfort from the refrigerator. Someone else might have a different reason why they overeat. It's just an addiction to pleasure or something like that. So the idol is not the thing that you do or the substance. It's the thing you're trying to get from that. And so what we need to do is figure out what our idols are, and that's going to be the godliness training for this week, is try to pinpoint the idols in your heart. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Wonderful passage. I love Isaiah 55 because it's an invitation to people who are thirsty, and that's everybody here, right? Everybody. So Isaiah 55, verse 1, God says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." And then verse 2 is poignant. "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Your flesh is afraid that this class is going to take away its water. Your flesh is afraid that the thing that is satisfying that thirst is going to be taken away. If you overcome this enslaving sin, if you no longer do this thing, then you're not going to have access to that pleasure. or that satisfaction, or that control, or that whatever it is that you're seeking, that comfort, that refuge, that escape. You're not going to have access to it because your soul thinks that's water. Your soul thinks that's bread. He thinks it's real food. And what he's saying here is, why are you spending all your resources on what's not bread? It's not bread. It's not water. It's sawdust. If you imagine somebody, you know, they smack their head on something, they get some wires crossed in their brain, and next thing you know, whenever their mouth gets dry, instead of craving water, they crave sawdust. That would be a bad problem, right? You'd really have a tough time drinking enough water because you just crave, like, drink sawdust, just a bunch of sawdust. You're like, man, I'm still dry. I need more. I need more sawdust. I need better sawdust. I need colder sawdust. They're running after one thing after another in life, trying to quench this thirst, and it's just making them thirstier. That's what our sins do. They're not bread. They're not water. They're leaky cisterns. Remember in Jeremiah 2, he says, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. There's no water there. There's no water. It won't satisfy. Now, it seems like it will because it satisfies for a moment, doesn't it? And we got to admit that. It satisfies for a moment. But it's a shallow satisfaction that leaves you even more unsatisfied, ultimately, than you were to begin with. It's not a deep satisfaction. And so what he's saying here in Isaiah is, why run after something that's not bread and spend your labor on what doesn't satisfy? It's not going to satisfy. You listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. See, your soul is afraid it's going to be deprived. No, you get victory over this thing, your soul's not going to be deprived. It's going to be satisfied with the richest of fare. What does richest of fare mean? Fatty foods, sugars, carbs, desserts, not lean meat, ribeye, bacon, fatty stuff. That's what richest of fare means. Okay? He's saying you're going to be satisfied with really, really good, satisfying stuff for your soul. That's the promise.
The question for today is very simple. What does your soul think is water? What things, people, activities, or feelings do your soul think are water? Things that you run to make you feel better, the things that you feel like you must have in order to be happy. You can't picture yourself being happy if you lost those things or if you didn't have those things. And remember, be specific. Don't just say food. Say what is it you're trying to get from that? What feeling are you trying to get from it? Or don't just, whatever it is that your behavior that you're dealing with, look beyond that and think, what is the idol? What is the thing that my soul thinks is water that it's trying to get from that activity? Don't be vague about this. Write it down on a piece of paper. Come up with something specific. Then in tomorrow's podcast, we'll start figuring out how to change those desires. Remember, the very beginning of today's podcast, I talked about how the issue is values. The issue isn't willpower. The issue is, what does your soul value? We make wrong decisions when we value the wrong things too highly above other things that we should value more highly. So how do you change that? How do you change what your soul values? That's what we're going to get to tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast will help you tap into deeper and deeper experiences of the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.